Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin 5 lines from the top of Daf Yud Aleph. We will be continuing in the topic of the value of the seh, the animal used to redeem the firstborn male donkey. Rav Yehuda Nesia Havile Peter Chamor. Rav Yehuda Nesia had a firstborn male donkey. Shadre Lekamei Rabbi Tarfon. He sent it to Rabbi Tarfon. Omerle Kamo Boino Lemesav Lekohen. And he sent as part of his question, how much do I need to give to the Kohen? The question is, how much must the value or the cost be of the sheep or goat that I use in redeeming this firstborn male donkey? Omarlei, kamo, so Omarlei, hare omru. So Rabbi Tarfon answers, it has been said, ayin yofe besela, a person who is gracious will buy something worth a sela, a type of coin, and in this context it will be a great value. Ayin ro'o b'shekel, person who is of a miserly or stingy nature, so he's allowed to buy something worth a shekel. A shekel is half the value of a sela. Beinonis, someone who is of a medium spirit, so berigya. Now, what rigya is will be explained as the Gemara goes on. Omar rova hilchasa berigya. The halacha is that one should buy a sheep or goat worth a rigya. V'kama, well, how much is that? Answer, tlosa zuzi. 3 zuz. 3 zuz is the same as saying 3 dinar. And the explanation of this amount is as follows. Rogil hocha v'rogil hocha means it's a little less than a sela, which is 4 dinar, and it's a little more than a shekel, which is essentially 2 dinar. The Gemara now raises a question. Kashya hilchasa ahilchasa. There seems to be a contradiction regarding the final legal ruling concerning this matter. And if you take advantage of the little arrows that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, line them up and see what you come up with. Well, on the first line, you see halacha kedivrei chachamim. In terms of the value of the pidyon petach hamor, it was ruled above that the halacha shall follow the chachamim, which means b'kol shehu, any amount, any minuscular amount. The second arrow points to the line which said hilchasa berigya, which was a fixed amount, three dinar. And that brings us to our line right now where we seem to have this, the Gemara raises this discrepancy in legal rulings. The Gemara answers, lo kashya, kan bevo limlach, kan bo'isa me'atzmo. The ruling of a rigya is where someone comes and consults. And the issue is, how much should we tell him? How much should we rule when he comes to ask his question? So to the answer to that, we'll tell him, buy a sheep worth 3 rigya. A rigya, which is 3 dinar. And the ruling that said any amount, that's if a person acts on his own. There, we said, even if it's a sixth of a dinar in value, it's still okay. That was what was meant by kolshu, a sixth of a dinar. The Gemara, as we go on, introduces another topic, and let's look at the outside margin in our Shas Ozer. That is the name of the Shas that appears on your screen, which is the cornerstone of the Gemara markings. The Nosei reads, Mahi Shitas Reb Shimon Verb Yehuda Be'inyan Pedias Peter Chamor Be'Shavyo. What is the Shita of these Tanoim, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, with regard to the redemption of a petach hamor at its actual value? We just might note in passing that we have mentioned before that when speaking about redemption through the use of a seh, sheep or goat, the approach that we have taken till now is that one is able to use a sheep or goat even if it is worth less, even significantly less, than the chamor that's being redeemed. Right now, the discussion focuses on an issue concerning redemption of peter chamor at actual value. Let us see how this unfolds. Omar Rebbe Yitzchok Omar Reish Lakish. Mi sheyesh lo peter chamor v'ein lo seh lefdoisoi. If someone has a firstborn male donkey and does not have a sheep to use as its redemption, podehu b'shavyo. So then the other option exists, and that is to redeem it at its market value. Liman, according to whom is Reish Lakish's ruling? Ilei Molder Rabbi Yehuda. If he is echoing the ruling of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, but ho amar hikpido alav Torah b'seh. But we have heard Rabbi Yehuda to say that the Torah insists on redemption through seh, not market value. Ela the Rebbe Shimon. Well, so it must be that Reish Lakish's ruling is an echoing of the spirit of Rebbe Shimon. In other words, Reish Lakish is ruling like Rebbe Shimon. Rav Acha Masni Hachi. Rav Acha presented Reish Lakish as we just did. In other words, Reish Lakish issued a ruling according to Rebbe Shimon. Ravino Kashile. Ravina was bothered by this. Why was he bothered? So there are two points. Number one, Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon, when there's a machlokas between these tanoim, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara in Erevin tells us, as is mentioned right here, that in a machlokas between these two tanoim, we will rule like Rabbi Yehuda. And a second point, v'sasam lontana k'Rabbi Yehuda, and we have a stam mishnah, namely an unnamed mishnah, which parallels Rabbi Yehuda's approach to these matters. The Mishnah referred to is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda that forbids the benefit from a firstborn donkey before it is redeemed. So we see that in matters concerning redemption of a firstborn donkey, that we follow the rulings of Rabbi Yehuda. V'yat Amris, and you report that Reish Lakish paskins, he rules halachic Rabbi Shimon. Why would Reish Lakish paskin like Rabbi Shimon when he does not appear to be the favored Tana in these matters? Ella. So Ravina explains or re-explains this issue and presents it thusly. Afilu temo Rabbi Yehuda. The ruling that Reish Lakish mentioned above, that if one does not have a seh, he shall pode shall redeem it at market value, meaning give cash to the Kohen or items that have it, the market value of that donkey, that is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda as well. And why would Rabbi Yehuda agree with that? Lo yehe chamur min hahekdesh. The issue of redeeming a firstborn donkey shall not be more stringent than rules concerning redemption of items sanctified. We know that when someone sanctifies an item and dedicates it to the Beis HaMikdash, if he should want to buy it back, so to speak, he would want to redeem it, he will redeem it at market value. So too, that option should certainly exist with regard to redemption of firstborn male donkey, according to Rabbi Yehuda as well. For lo omra Torah b'seh lahachmir olav, the track of redemption through sheep was not stated in order to serve as a stringency on the owner, rather it's a leniency for the individual, namely that if a person happens to have a say, he can use that for redeeming, even though it's worth less than the firstborn male donkey, the Peter Chamor. In the absence of a say, so then we go according to the basic rule of redemption, as we find by Hektish, and that is redemption at market value. And the main point, as far as this discussion is concerned, that would be in accordance with the Tana Rebbe Yehuda as well. Hence, Reish Lakish's ruling is not restricted to Shitas Rebbe Shimon. Rav Nachman Brei Rav Yosef Porek Le Bishilki Bishavyo. Rav Nachman would redeem a firstborn male donkey, a Peter Chamor, by offering a kohen cooked vegetation worth the value of that firstborn male donkey. That's Bishavyo. So we see even something other than cash, even cash equivalent items, in this case this cooked vegetation, was given to the Kohen as redemption of the Peter Chamor. Before continuing in the Gemara, we just glance at the side for the title of this new sugya, Hapoda Peter Chamor Shechavero, Pidyono Lemi. The Gemara will discuss the general issue of redeeming the Peter Chamor of one's friend. In other words, Reuven takes a sheep, sets it aside in order to redeem the firstborn donkey owned by Shimon. So Reuven is poda the Peter Chamor of his friend Shimon. The Gemara will ask, amongst other things, the Gemara will ask, Pidyono Lemi. The sheep that's set aside, who gets it? Let us now see the Gemara. Omar of Shizvi, Omar of Huna. Hapoida Peter Chamor Shechavero. Pidyono Podui. One who redeems a firstborn male donkey for his friend. As we described before, Reuven is poded on behalf of Shimon. So the that pidyon, that redemption, is effective. The Gemara continues, Ibayalaho. You'll notice we have a long question marking, as indicated by the shin that's encircled at the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with the descending vertical dashed line. Ibayalaho pidyono podui lapode oidilmo pidyono podui labailim. We are speaking about a Reuven being pode Shimon's chamor, Peter chamor. So Reuven will set aside a sheep and give it to a Kohen. The question right now is, who will be the owner of that firstborn donkey? After all, once it's redeemed, so now it becomes yours. The question is, in this case, who will be the owner of it? Alibo de Rabbi Shimon lo tibayaloch. This question is not going to get started, doesn't need to be asked within the context of Rabbi Shimon. Kevin di Omar Mutar Bano, since Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that an unredeemed firstborn donkey is something that the owner is able to benefit from, and the redemption is simply a procedure that one is obligated to follow. However, prior to the redemption, it nevertheless is mutter, one is allowed to benefit from it. So Mamona de Bailamhu, it's clear that it's considered the possession, the item belonging to the basic owner, to the original owner. Ki tiboya alibo de Rebbe Yehuda, yomar osir bahano. This question that we're dealing with right now is a question that can be raised, or is to be raised, within the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, who says that as yet unredeemed Peter Chamor is osir to benefit, is forbidden to benefit from. Being that that's the background, now the question. Lehekdish medamile, do we compare the rules of redemption of Peter Chamor to the rules of redemption that when it comes to items sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. V'rachmona omar, the Torah says in the context of redemption of items sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, v'nosan hakesef v'kom lo. And from that we learn that the one who gives the money to the Beis HaMikdash in order to buy something out of the Beis HaMikdash, in other words, the one who tries to redeem something from the Beis HaMikdash, the redeemer, the one who pays the money, gets the item. Oy dilma, or do we say, Kevan dekoni lehu debeni ubeni lo domi lehegdish. Or, even though we're speaking within Shitas Rabbi Huda, the firstborn male donkey, the Petach Hamor, if it is redeemed with a seh, let us say, the seh being worth much less than the donkey, that difference in value, in the event that the owner chooses to redeem it, that difference in value belongs to the owner. So that right now, even before redemption has taken place, there is this inherent difference in value between the chamor that's in front of him and the seh that will be used for the redemption. So now that difference in value is something that right now that belongs to the owner. So the fact that he is the owner of that difference in value, that's considered his, if someone else comes along and does the redemption, that shouldn't remove the owner from the picture. And the owner should be the one to get the redeemed donkey. So let's read that again. Oy dilma, kevan dekoni lehu debeni beni. Since the owner has possession of this difference in value, lo domi lehegdish. It's not like hegdish. Hegdish is redeemed only at market value. The firstborn donkey is something that can be redeemed at something less than market value. So we are not going to parallel it according to this possibility in our analysis. We're not going to parallel it to hegdish, and therefore we won't say that the one that redeems it gets it. Omar Rav Nachman, Ta Shmas. Rav Nachman answers this question by citing a Tanaic source from which we will see how to go in with regard to Petach Hamor. Do we compare Petach Hamor to Hekdesh and the rules of Hekdesh or not? So the source talks about a different topic, but we will see the tie-in. It says, Hagonev Petach Hamor Shechavero, if someone steals in a stealthful fashion a firstborn male donkey of his friend, Mishalem Tashlume Kefel Abailim, he will pay a double payment to the owner. Afal pi she'ein loy achshov yesh lo le'achar zman. Even though the owner doesn't have benefit from it right now, he will have benefit from it later on. Therefore, it's considered as if it is his right now. The Gemara will continue analyzing this as follows. Money. First of all, who is the author of this idea of what's stated in this source? Ilemo Rabbi Shimon. If the author of this were Rabbi Shimon, Amai Ein Lo Achshav, why would it be described as the owner not having it, having ownership of the Petach Hamor right now? According to Rabbi Shimon, even if one has not redeemed his Petach Hamor, he is allowed to benefit from it. He's allowed to use it. So why would it be described as not his? Elopshita Rabbi Yehuda. It then is obvious that this source is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. And don't forget, our question was according to Rabbi Yehuda. We emphasize that above with a dashed underline when we mentioned in the Gemara Kiti Boya Libet Rabbi Yehuda. So here the Gemara is saying that it's obvious that this source is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, V'i Salka Daitoch Lehegdish Midaminon Le, if you were to think that the rules of Petach Hamor are paralleled to the rules of Hegdish, items sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, then this ruling would not be accurate, because regarding Hegdish, for example, it says Vegunav mibeis ho'ish. With regard to theft, it says the item is stolen from a person, and it's in that context that there is a kefel payment, a double payment. So Vegunav mibeis ho'ish, Omar Rachmona, velo mibeis Hegdish. The ruling of paying a double payment, a tashlum of kefel, is only when something is stolen from a private domain, from a private ownership, not and to the exclusion of something stolen from the Beis Hamikdash. So when you see in this source dealing with this, the theft of a petach hamor, and there is a double payment, kefel payment, so it's obvious that it's not considered a theft from Hegdish or a Hegdish type theft. And therefore, it's clear that the rules of petach hamor will be not like Hegdish, and therefore the original question was, one who redeems the petach hamor of his friend, who gets that donkey? So the ruling will be that the owner will keep his donkey, not the person who was paying the money. Vesu loy midi. And there is nothing further to say on this topic. In other words, this analysis is considered very clear. As we continue in the Gemara, we will take advantage of the nosei, the topic heading that we see on the outside margin. Pirush ha dekotoni b'mishnah. We will explain that which it says in the Mishnah regarding the pidyon petach hamor. It mentions nichnas ladir l'saser, the sheep that is used for redeeming the petach hamor, it goes into the corral for the meiser behemoth tithing. Dahainu b'mikresh yeshlo asora sveke petach hamor. We will see the Gemara mentions that the case spoken about is a person that has in his possession 10 doubtful firstborn male donkeys. So there's an issue of doubt. Does it need redemption or not? Shemafrish aleim asora sein. He will set aside 10 sheep, and those 10 sheep eventually, since they're not definitively needed for pidyon petach hamor, the owner will count one. He'll send them through the corral. There's a little alley or chamber through which animals pass one by one, and the tenth animal. The tenth animal in the counting is declared to be the Meiser Behemoth. And the owner will then take that Meiser Behemoth, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and offer it as a sacrifice and eat it. Now, the Gemara. Echad achas bichrach shel bichro and vechule. The continuation that's relevant for our discussion is the point of the Mishnah that says, Nichnas ledir lis aser. Tanu Rabbana. Now this Brisa elaborates on that point. Ketzad Omru Nichnas Ladir Lis Aser. What is meant by the animal passing into the corral for the purposes of Meiser Behema? I ato yocholomar bevoli at Kohen. We cannot talk about the sheep after it's given to the Kohen that it would need to be part of a tithing process. Share shoninu, we have learned halokuach v'shinita lo b'matana poter mi'maiser behema. Animals that one receives either through receiving a gift or through a purchase, those animals are exempt from maiser behema. Maiser behema is a tithe from animals born in your own herd, not something that you received from an outside source. Elo b'Yisrael, rather, the Mishnah that speaks about Nichnas Ladir L'Saser is talking about a Jew, Shehoyulo Asoro Sofek Pitre Hamor, he had 10 doubtful firstborn male donkeys. In other words, there's a doubt whether this particular donkey is a real Petach Hamor, a firstborn. And he has the Besoch Beso as part of his items owned. Shemafrish Aleim Asoro Sein, he sets aside for these 10 Sofek Pitre Hamor, he sets aside 10 sheep, Uma Asron, and those 10 sheep, being that he has 10, if a person doesn't have 10 animals, then there's no Meiser tithing that takes place. So he since we're dealing with this number 10, which is the minimum number for Maaser Behemah, so after setting aside the 10 sheep, Uma Asron, he tithes them, Vehein Shelo, and he keeps them. Mesayale Rav Nachman. This supports Rav Nachman. And you'll notice we have a triangle that appears, and on the side under our Mivneh heading, we've noted Meimros, Rav Nachman, Omar, Rabo Bar. We have several Meimros, several comments in his name, and hence we mark them using the series marking, the geometric form, and in this case we chose a triangle. The Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Avua, Yisrael Shoylo Asor Asafik Pitri Chamorim, a Jew that has 10 doubtful firstborn male donkeys, Mafri Shaleim Asor Asim, he sets aside 10 Shibu Ma'asron, he tithes them Vehein Shalo. In other words, the point of this Gemara is to say that we have a Braisa that serves as a support for Rav Nachman's halacha. The Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rav Avua. Now we have another halach of his, and you'll notice that a double underlining is used, and on the side of our Gemara, we've noted that we will learn in our Gemara about Shnei Mikrim Shel Yerusha, the Yisrael Yorash Mibes Avi Imoi Kohen, a case, and we're not going to specify immediately what, that in another moment, but where a Yisrael inherits from his maternal grandfather, who happened to be a Kohen. The grandson is a Yisrael because the mother, who was the Bas Kohen, she married a Yisrael, but her father was a Kohen. So we have this Yisrael who inherits from his maternal grandfather, a Kohen. Now that Kohen himself, Shiora Shemibes Avi Imo Yisrael, he inherited from his maternal grandfather, who happened to be a Yisrael. Now what are the items that the Gemara will feature? Will feature the inheritance of Pitre Chamorim, of firstborn donkeys, and another case which features the inheritance of untithed produce. The Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rabo Bar Avua. You notice we have a little aleph over this, because as we mentioned in our introduction, there will be two cases that follow the same model. And first we call aleph, and a few lines later we call it beis. Later in the Gemara will do a tzrichusa, which will demonstrate why I need to have both cases, even though they seem to be very similar. Why do both need to be taught? So in the meantime, the first case, V'yoma Rav Nachman Omar Rabba Bavua, Yisrael Shoyu Lo Asora Pitre Chamorim Vadoyin Besoch Beso. Here we have a case of a Yisrael that has 10 definite firstborn Pitre Chamorim, firstborn male donkeys. Now they have not been redeemed yet. How did he get these Pitre Chamorim? Well, Shenoflu Mibes Avi Imoi Kohen. He inherited them from his maternal grandfather, who happened to be a Kohen. V'oisa Avi Imoi Kohen, and that particular grandfather, Noflu Lo Mibes Avi Imoi Yisrael. These ten Pitre Chamorim came to him through his grandfather, who was a Yisrael. So now we have this individual, this young generation, we'll call him, at the end of this chain of inheritance. We have this Yisrael. What does he do? Mafrish alehen asora sein. He shall set aside 10 sheep, uma asron, and he will do meiser behema, as we saw above, vehein shelo, and he will be able to keep these sheep. Now this is very interesting. Who is actually doing the meiser, the pidyon peter chamor? Well, in fact, a Yisrael is doing it. Now if a Yisrael is doing it, you might ask, so why does he keep the sheep? Isn't it so that the redemption sheep is given to a Kohen? So the answer to that is, well, the station before, so to speak, he inherited from his maternal grandfather, who happened to be a Kohen. So you have to ask yourself, what is the rule of a Peter Chamor in the Rishus of a Kohen? Let's say a Kohen happens to have a donkey that bore its firstborn offspring, happening to be a male, so what does the Kohen do? The Kohen himself will set aside a sheep. However,
He doesn't have to give it to another Kohen. He can keep it for himself. So this grandson that's coming as a result of a Kohen shall follow the same procedure. And now for a very, very similar halacha. V'yomer av Nachman om Ravua. Yisrael shehoyu lo tvolim mimurochim besoich besoi. We have a Yisrael that has untithed grains. Mimurochim is from the word miruach. Miruach is the stage in grain production where a pile of grain is piled up and it's leveled off. That's called miruach. That is the point at which grains become bound and obligated to be tithed. So Yisrael has a pile of untithed grains in his possession. Shinoflu, that came to him, Ibeis Avi'imo Kohen. He inherited from his maternal grandfather who happened to be a Kohen. V'Oise Avi'imo Kohen, Noflu Lo, Ibeis Avi'imo Yisrael. He, in turn, inherited those very grains from his maternal grandfather, who happened to be a Yisrael. So now, several generations later, we see this grain being passed down as an inheritance, and it's now in the possession of a Yisrael. Me'asron v'hein shelo. The Yisrael shall separate the tithes, and the truma that he tithes is considered his own. Well, now, as a Yisrael, he's not allowed to eat it. So what does he do? He's allowed to sell it to a Kohen and keep the money for himself. Now, if it was the Yisrael, let us say, tithing his own produce, something that he grew, so he would separate the truma, he wouldn't be allowed to sell it. He has to give it as a gift to a Kohen. But since this Yisrael inherited these grains, these untithed grains from his maternal grandfather, who was a Kohen, so he, this grandson, Yisrael, does not have to give it, he doesn't have to give it as a gift to a Kohen, but can sell it to a Kohen. Utsricha, and I need to be taught both of these halachas that we've labeled Aleph and Beis, as were taught by Rav Nachman Omar Rabba Bar Avua. The two halachas, the one involving the Pitcher Chamorim, and the second one involving the Tvolim and Murochim. Why do I need to be taught both? Well, here the Gemara goes through in two stages. What would have been had I been taught only one of the two? The Gemara is going to say, I would not have been able to figure out the ruling regarding the other. The E. Ashmin and Kamaisa, had we taught you the case of the Pitrei Chamorim, Mishum deka Mufrosh Vekoi. There, it's easy for us to say that the grandson Yisrael will keep it, because the sheep is a separate entity. Mufrosh means it's separate from the donkey. So being that it's separate, it's considered already separated. The Yisrael doesn't have to do anything to the donkeys themselves. And therefore, we can say, since it's considered already separated, so he keeps the sheep. Aval hocha, with regard to the untithed pile of grain, matonas shelo hurmu, kemi shelo hurmu damyon, emo lo. We would say that untithed matonas, matonas is a reference to things like the trumas and maisers, the various tithes that one needs to remove from grains. So since the grains are within the pile of grain itself, it's not like a donkey sheep, which are two separate entities. Since the grains are within the pile, the tithes are within the pile itself, that's called matonas shalohurmu, untithed, unseparated matonas. They are kemi shalohurmu damya. They are as if they have not been tithed. We don't view them as if they have been tithed and separated. So as a result of this approach, emo lo, I might have said that the Yisrael grandson cannot keep the tithes when he tithes them. Because after all, he is now making the first move in a tithing action. So he would be expected to now separate it and give it to a Kohen. Therefore, in addition to teaching about the Pitrei Chamor, I have to teach you about the Tvolim Mimurochim. To tell me otherwise, to tell me that in the case of the grains, he will also keep the tithes. The E. Ashmin and Hocha, had we taught the case of the grains, the Efshir La'asuri Mineu Bei.
there, maybe only there, as opposed to the donkeys, maybe in this case, he keeps it because the tithing takes place from within the pile itself, from within the grains that he inherited. The ha monach, it's right over here. It's placed, it's sitting right over here in his possession. Aval hasam, but there, with regard to the pitre chamor, kevan de se me alma boy asuye, since the se has to bring from outside, he has to acquire it from outside. Mufrash v'koi lo amrinan. We aren't going to say it's considered as if it's already separated, because after all, he has to go and get it. He has to acquire the se. So we can't say it's considered already separated. And as a result of this, it may be, it's not so simple. It should not be said that he shall keep it. Therefore, Tzricha, I have to tell you, in addition to the grain case, I have to tell you about the donkey case, informing me that, in fact, he will keep it after he does the redemption, and no need to give the sheep to a Kohen. As we go on in the Gemara, at the bottom line of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, we have a topic heading that reads as follows, the Nosei. You'll notice it at the bottom part of the outside margin, Halokeach Tevolim Emurochin Min Ho'akum. One who buys grains that have experienced Miruach, and he buys them from a non-Jew. Ma Dinom Lagabi Hafroshes. What is the halacha regarding the need or lack thereof regarding tithing? Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Noson, Omar Rabbi Hanina, Halokeach Tevolim Mimurochim. We're now at the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. If one buys grains that have not experienced any tithing, and they have gone through the miruach process, the leveling of the pile, and he buys this min ha'oivik yichovim, he buys it from a non-Jew. Me'asron, there is a need to tithe them. V'hein shelo. After the tithing is done, the person, the Jew who bought these grains, he is able, it says here, he keeps the tithe. In other words, he's not going to give it as a gift to the Kohen or the Levi. The Gemara asks some investigative questions. Demarchinon man, demarchinhu man, who did the miruach process? The miruach is known as the gemar malocha. Who did that stage in the grain preparation? Ilemo demarchinu oivei kechavim. If you are to think that the Gentile himself did the miruach, then this wouldn't be the resulting halacha, because dengonecha omar rachmana. The Torah in the section dealing with tithing, it says dengonecha your grains. Meaning, and it's darshaned, by the way, as digun-cha in the Gemara, meaning not just grains, but your digun. Digun is an action, the action of miruach. If you do the miruach, then there is a need to tithe. V'lo dogon oved kochavim. And not if a Gentile did the action of digun, of miruach. So it can't be that the case features the miruach having been done by the goy. Elo demarchinu Yisrael, birashus ove kochavim. The case is grains that were actually owned by a Gentile, but he had a worker, an oris, a sharecropper, working in his domain who happened to be Jewish. Now, the Gemara explains the ruling. Me'asron, there is a need to tithe. You might ask, but wasn't it grains that were owned by a Gentile? Well, the explanation is the Ein Kinyan Loivik Kechavim Beretz Yisrael Afkia Miad Meiser, that a Gentile that owns property in the land of Israel, his Kinyan on the land is not a Kinyan that's capable of excluding it from the realm of tithing. So it's not excluded just because the Gentile happened to own the property. It's not mufka. It's not excluded from the realm of tithes. the Hain Shelo, that was the second point that we saw concerning this case, that the Jew that bought them keeps them. The Amale, the purchaser, can say to anyone who comes, let's say a Kohen who comes claiming, I want you to give it to me. So the purchaser says, listen, Ko'asino mikoch gavla de lo motzis ishtayue dino bade. I am coming from literally from the strength of, but I'm like an extension of a person. Had I not bought it, you would not have been able to deal with the goy. You wouldn't have been able to tell the goy, you have to give me the tithes. After all, this is not one of the mitzvos of a goy. The goy is not obligated in tithing his own produce. So had I not bought it, you wouldn't have been able to get it anyway. Now that I bought it, I'm like an extension of the one from whom I purchased it. So you can't demand it from me. So as we said, there is a definite need for the purchaser to tithe, to set aside tithes. By setting aside the tithes, it's no longer going to be called tevel. It's no longer going to be prohibited to benefit from. Now, as far as the tithes themselves, so the purchaser can now take the truma tithe. He won't eat it himself. It's forbidden for non-Kohanim to eat that. But he can now go and sell it to a Kohen. Continuing in the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, we have a Tanaic source that says, Hamafkid peroisiv etzel hakusi veetzel amhoretz. If a person entrusts his produce by a kusi, a kusi is a member of a nation of people whose conversion to Judaism was questionable, we'll say, or he entrusts his fruits to a amoretz, to an ignoramus. When the kusi or amoretz who was watching the fruits returns them to you, we say becheskon becheskoson lemaisir l'shvias. If I gave him tithed fruits, or I gave him, let us say, non shvias, non seventh year produce, when he gives it back to me, I can assume that what I gave him is what he gives back to me. There's no switch around. However, Eitzel Oivid Kechavim, if I entrusted my produce by an idol worshiper, then that which he gives back to me when I demand my stuff on return is Kepei Rosov. It's viewed as his, as the Gentile's fruits, meaning, very simply stated, whatever I gave him, he's not giving back to me. He's giving me back his own produce instead. That's what we assume. And now, by saying it's Keperosov, that is basically saying, and there is a need to re-tithe, to tithe them. Rab Shimon Omer Demai. Demai will be explained a little bit later as we go along in the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is an Amora, and he says, Lahafrish Kuliamolo Pligi. As far as the need for a separation, everyone agrees that Tanakama and Reb Shimon agree you will have to do a separation. Ki pligi litnon lekohen. After you do the separation, now there is a machlokis, there is a controversy. Do you have to give the tithe to a kohen? Tanakama sovar vadai chalfinu. The Gentile, the Ovikom, the idol worshipper, is said to have definitely switched the produce around. Uboy misninhu lekohen. As a result of definitely having switched it around, I have to give the tithe to the kohen. I have to give it to him. I can't sell it to him because I am dealing with, as far as the Tanakam is concerned, produce that has definitely not been tithed yet. Rabbi Shimon Sovar Demai. Rabbi Shimon says that with regard to the produce that I get back from the Gentile, I have to do a mahafrosha. However, the truma I am allowed to sell to a kohen. The term demai in general means is a reference to doubt. So the Reb Shimon is looking at that which I received back from the idol worshipper as something that maybe he switched around, maybe not. So I have to do the hafrosha. However, the hafrosha, after it's done, this tithing, after it's done, I am able to keep it. As far as the truma is concerned, it's a truma you can't keep, but you can sell it to the Kohen. However, according to the Tanakhama, you wouldn't be allowed to sell it. You'd have to give it, as is the din with regular truma. Yosef Ravdimi v'ko'omar loho shmaitza. Ravdimi was seated, and he said over this teaching, the teaching of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was noted a few lines up from here. Omar le Abaye. Abaye raises a question. The question lasts a few lines, but before we go any further in the Gemara, let's glance at the side of the Gemara under our No Say heading. Belokeach tvolim imrochem mino akum. When one buys untithed grains from a goy that experienced the miruach process, we mentioned the smoothing off of the pile of grains. Mosai amrinon de mafrish vehein shelo. When do we say that you are mafrish, you do a hafrosha and you keep the hafroshes? Mosai amrinon de yesh machlokes tanoim bein chachomim v'rabbi Shimon. And when do we apply the machlokes tanoim that we just learned between the chachomim and Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara. Abaye said, Omar le Abaye. Abaye asks, Taimo de mesafkalon I chalfinu I lo chalfinu. The reason that Rabbi Shimon says demai is because there is a doubt whether he did a switch or not. Ha vade chalfinu, had he definitely done a switch, had the Gentile definitely done a switch, the kuli alma boy lemisvinhu lekohen, then everyone would agree, it seems from here, that you will have to give the tithe to the Kohen. Well, I have a question. V'omar Rav Shmuel, Omar Rabbi Chanina. Have we not learned at the bottom of Omid Aleph, we saw his name, started there, and we saw it continued to the top of this Omid. Halokech tevolim imurochen min ha'oived kichavim. One who buys untithed grains from a Gentile, ma'asron, behein shelo. Notice, we've dashed underlined the key expressions. Here, Rav Shmuel Amar Rav Chanina said, under the same circumstances, you tithe them and keep the tithes. How is it then that we are inferring from Rabbi Elazar above that had we known that the goy switched them around, you would tithe them and give them to a Kohen? So that's the problem. A suggested solution, Dilma kan betruma gedola kan betruma smaiser. Maybe it's as follows. The machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Shimon, and the chamim that concerns an issue of truma gedola. In other words, where there's a doubt, so there's a machlokes tanoim. However, if it's for sure that the goy switched them around, so then everyone will agree that you have to give it to a kohen. That's a reference to the truma gedola tithe. That's the main or the basic truma tithe that one takes off of his grains. Kan, the case of Vehein Shelo, the ruling that we saw at the top of this Omid, that's the Trumas Meiser. That's a reference to the 10% that a Levi must give from the tithe he receives, the Meiser Rishon tithe, and that 10% is called Trumas Meiser, that the Levi himself gives to a Kohen. So regarding Trumas Meiser, we would say Masron Vehein Shelo. The purchaser is expected to set that tithe aside, but he will keep it. Omale, so he said back, Azkarton Milsa, you reminded me, I'm reminded of something, Diomar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We have a long point. You'll notice the nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line indicates that all of these lines that are opposite this marking form the point. So, what does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi teach? Minayin lelokech tevolim imrochin min ha'oved kechavim. Shu poter mitrumas meiser. From where do we know that one who purchases untithed grains from a Gentile, that he is exempt from the Trumas Meiser tithe? Shinemar, the Pasuk in the context of Trumas Meiser says, V'el halavim tedaber, v'yomarta lehem, ki sikhu me'es b'nei Yisrael, etc. And we darshan this pasuk, which is the source for Trumas Meiser, as follows. Tavolim shata lokech mi bnei Yisrael, ato mafrish mehen Trumas Meiser, v'noisna lekohen. Grains that you buy, untied grains that you buy from a Jew, so from them you have to remove the Trumas Meiser. Tavolim shata lokech min oivik echavim, however, the tevel, the untied grains that you buy from a Gentile, there you don't go through the process of separation and subsequent giving to a Kohen. So in accordance with the Gemara above, there is a need for separation. However, there is no need for giving it to the Kohen. And that is, of course, as we just said, that's a reference to Trumas Meiser. That's the 10% that the Levi takes off of the tithe that he himself receives, the Meiser Rishon tithe. As we go on in the Gemara, we note at the outside margin the Nosei Mivne heading. You notice a double underline is featured, as you can see that in the Gemara as well. These are shlovim, stages, bibirur, in clarifying, hadikatani, it's said in the Mishnah, ve'im meis nehenin boi. Well, if it says if it dies, so you can benefit from it. Heichal meis, well, where did it die, and who is nene from it, who benefits from it? The mis hecha, where did the sheep that was used for redeeming the firstborn donkey, where did it die? Ilemo de mis be kohen vinene boy kohen, that it died in the house of the kohen who receives this redemption animal, and we are taught that the kohen is allowed to benefit from it. In other words, he could take this dead sheep and feed it to his dogs. Well, pshita, mamono di deo, it's obvious, it's his possession. He's allowed to do with it whatever he wants. I don't need the Mishnah to teach me this. Elo demis bei bailim. Rather, it's a case where the sheep died in the house of the original owner, v'nehne boi kohen, and the kohen is allowed to benefit from it and use it. Well, ha'nami pshita, this also would appear to be obvious. So the Gemara says, not so. Sa'kadai tachamina, without having our Mishnah to teach me this point, I would have thought, kol kama de lamata li yodei lo zochabe, as long as the Kohen has not received it, so he doesn't become the owner of it. Komash Molon, the Mishnah informs us as follows, the Me'idna de Afushe, that as soon as the owner set it aside, Birshuse de Kohen Koi, it's said to be in the domain, in the control of the Kohen. So the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that the sheep that was set aside, even though it didn't actually reach the Kohen, it nevertheless is considered the Kohen's property. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.